Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm so happy to be here with you. I have loved this Monday series we've been doing. Y'all have too. It keeps rolling today. But before we dive in, I want to tell you about one of our incredible sponsors, AG1. I've been drinking AG1 for a long time now because it's such an easy way for me to make sure I'm covering my nutritional bases in like 60 seconds. Taking care of our health should not be complicated. And AG1 simplifies it because I don't have to keep track of a million different pills and capsules. Instead, it's one scoop of AG1 mixed in really cold water every day. And y'all know I like to add a little frozen lemon juice cubes to it. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for so many years, unlike many supplement brands, I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they obsess over the practices and the ingredients, and they are heavily researched. Quality really is their commitment, and at each step of the process, they really go above and beyond industry standards. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get this free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/soundsfun. That's drinkag1.com/soundsfun. Y'all check it out. Today, we are diving into the book of Acts with pastor of the pod and pastor of Cross Point Church here in Nashville, Dr. Kevin Queen. I am so excited for you to hear this conversation and truly so excited for the month of May over on the Let's Read the Gospels podcast. We have done Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over since January of 2023, but starting on May 1st, we are going through the book of Acts. So if you've listened through with us at any time before, or if you've never joined us, May is a great time to jump in. It is also our last month of the Let's Read the Gospels podcast. I am thrilled that we are closing it out and ending really well with the book of Acts. So make sure you are subscribed to Let's Read the Gospels. We're going to start on Wednesday, May 1st. We're going to read one chapter a day. It'll take us 28 days, and then you have finished what you started, which is really, really cool. So there is a lot to learn in the book of Acts. Let's dive in right now. And here's my conversation with our pastor of the pod, Pastor Kevin Queen. That sounds fun. Pastor Dr. Kevin Queen, welcome back to That Sounds Fun.
Why you want to throw that doctor in there?
Well, because, A, you did the work for it. Right?
Yeah, but even thermometers have degrees. And you know where they put those.
That's oh my gosh, that's a great line. Well, one of the things you taught me early on of us being at church together was that you didn't want your education to close any doors the Lord might want to open. And so you did as much as you could to make sure you were available to whatever God might have based on what time you had and the experience you had. So I think that has impacted me a lot. Mm. So I'm really grateful. Listen, here's something you don't know.
Okay.
It's our 10th year of That Sounds Fun. It is also your 10th episode of That Sounds Fun.
Come on.
Let's go. That means you're in the Hall of Fun, Pastor Hall of Kevin. Fun. Look at you right there. You are in the Hall of Fun. It only takes five to get in. You
can I get a picture of that?
Yeah,
can I,
sure. Okay. We'll take a picture with it later. Yeah. You said double portion.
Double portion.
You said, I'll get 10 episodes in before the Hall of Fun starts. But there's only, what, digits. 15 of y'all?
Wow.
There you are.
Heroes in the face.
Like Santa.
Yeah.
Is he one of the people you're mentioning? Santa Claus made it? Yeah, I know. It's really fun. It's a great group. We feel very lucky that of our 800, almost 900 episodes, that all these people would come back more than once.
We're grateful. Thanks.
Including you.
Yeah. Thank you for the invitation.
Pastor of the pod, it's been a while.
It has.
I'm sorry to tell you, you did prayer with us last year, a good prayer Q&A. What do you know about prayer now that you didn't know when you were here 2 years ago?
Well, something that I learned just this past Sunday is what God can do when we stop talking.
Yeah, listen. Tell about it if you want.
Well, so Sunday, I mean, every Sunday there's a group of us that gather for prayer before the weekend's messages, sermons, services. And we gather, we pray, we end our time in communion. This past week when you were preaching, or before you were preaching, we were gathered back in that room, and God just, he showed up in the room. I mean, it was one of those times, I don't know that I've ever experienced anything like it. Was just, there were probably seven of us back there in that room. And it was like the Holy Spirit just put his finger on all of our lips and just filled the room with his presence. That's the only way that I know how to describe it.
We've been praying on Sunday mornings since 2017. Mm-hmm. And that, so 52 times 7.
Yeah.
And I've never experienced anything like that. Mm. I mean, 43 times 52, because that's how old I am.
Yeah.
I've never experienced anything like that. 5-6 minutes where no one, it was almost like we couldn't.
Yeah.
I just had tears rolling down my eyes. I told you when you sat down, like, the only thing I've said to the Lord since Sunday is whatever it takes to experience your presence like that. Like, you, I'll sell it. I'll buy it. I'll send it. I'll keep it. I will. What is it? What does it take for the Lord's presence to, I think it takes 52 weeks of praying after 7. I think there's a long obedience in the same direction.
We just keep showing, showing up. It's consistency. You know, I think so many times when we want something to happen, we think about what's the intensity that we have to bring.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned on Sunday, I think what we saw is it's the consistency.
Yeah.
It's almost consistency over intensity, you know.
Because do you have weeks? I'll confess first. I have weeks where we finish praying and I'm like, are you going to do anything different this week, or is it going to be the same? Because we do this every week, and to what end?
Mm-hmm.
And often my excuse that I give God is, well, you probably protected people from something because we didn't see you break out. So we didn't see the Holy Spirit fall. We didn't see blah, blah, blah. So you must have just gotten people there safely. So, okay.
Yeah. And I think the hard thing is sometimes as pastors, we get to hear all the stories.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure that the intercessors get to hear the stories in the same way. So I don't know that I do a great job of circling back the next week and saying, hey, listen, because you were, and sharing those testimonies. Mm-hmm. So what I just got from that is that there's power in coming back and saying, hey, because we prayed and not.
I would love, anytime you have those, I would love those.
Yeah.
I mean, it hadn't kept me from coming, obviously. Right. But Tuesday at Cross Point, you are the pastor of Cross Point Church, where I attend, and I'm lucky enough to be on your teaching team. Just for people who are new and didn't know, Pastor of the Pod meant also pastor of my life. We would list all the episodes of this that you've been on so people can go back and hear your story as well. But what are you learning in Tuesday prayer when y'all gather at 11 a.m. on Tuesdays?
You know, that is my favorite. It is my favorite hour of the week.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons I love it so much is it's not on Planning Center. So it's like the 1 hour of, and Planning Center is a platform, it's an application that churches and ministries use to coordinate things, to plan things out. That's the 1 hour that we just put the sail up and just see what God is, what God's doing. And oftentimes what happens is that room on Tuesdays, the people that are in that room get to experience first what the people are going to, the congregation is going to get on the weekend. So I love entering into that moment, not really having a set in stone plan. So today we're talking about the Father's blessing on Sunday. So today, part of that prayer time was like, hey, if you need a blessing from the Father, if maybe we talked about Eldridge has those two questions. He said that that every little boy is asking the question, do I have what it takes? And every little girl is asking the question, am I lovely? And he says the Father's job to answer that question 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways that yes, you have what it takes, and yes, you are lovely.
Wow.
And so what occurred to me is when Jesus is baptized, the Father said, this is my beloved Son. The loved one. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. I'm proud of you. You have what it takes. Before he began his ministry,
That's right.
Jesus gets the Father. He receives the Father's blessing, and just felt like, hey, today, if you need that, maybe those questions weren't answered for you, and you need to receive that blessing from the Father. And that wasn't it. Just kind of it came in the
you didn't
in the
take
moment.
Notes I didn't the prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, just received that, and there were people who had just meaningful. There were some powerful moments of prayer and. People received hugs, you know, from the Father. You know, there was just this.
Was Rob
this,
there? Was Rob just
Rob was,
hugging people?
Rob was there. Rob
I
was up.
Was.
Darren, of course, Pastor Darren, and Rob, and it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. But I love because it builds anticipation over what we're going to experience on a. It scales, right?
That's right.
The move of the Spirit
That's
scales,
right.
So we get to experience it in the concentrated form. You know, it's like my Nana used to have. Orange juice concentrate, you know, came in this little can, and then she would have to, and you know, I think about those Tuesday at 11, it's like the concentrated form of what we're asking for. So.
This is very good lead into Acts because isn't that what they experienced, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they got the concentrated form and then went out and sent it. Okay. So as you know, we've been reading the Gospels for a year and a half now.
Yes.
We finished Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the 14th time. Mm. And now we are jumping into the book of Acts on Wednesday.
Come on.
Will you talk a little bit about the people who just finished reading the Gospels, what do you do now? Now that you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we actually read it John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. Yeah. What's the takeaway after you read the Gospels?
Yeah, I mean, I when I think about, for me personally, and one way I've heard it talked about is that Matthew tells us what Jesus said. Mark tells us what Jesus did. John tells us who Jesus is, and Luke tells us how Jesus feels. He gives us the humanity, which he's a doctor, so he's given us the the humanity, fully God, fully man, more than humanity. And so these dimensions or perspectives or understandings that God has given us through his word of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so when I think about that, that sets us up for the next. And so I think especially how you've continued to move through those Gospels really sets the context for what next? How do we take this message, this good news, this gospel? How do we take this into how do we live a life on mission with Jesus?
So one of the interesting things is Luke wrote Luke and he wrote Acts. Mm-hmm. Were they originally one and they split them up, or did he write two letters to Theophilus?
Yeah. So, I mean, there were two historical accounts, right?
Okay.
So he gathers this historical account of the life of Christ, and then he comes back with this second account, but a continuation. So the first one, he's like, this is an account of the ministry of Jesus. And then the second one is an account of the ministry of Jesus. You know, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. But
why are we shorten it?
Right. Really, really, I mean, it's more the acts or the activity of the Holy Spirit and a continuation of the ministry of Jesus through the church.
Yeah.
So that's why we shorten it.
Right.
And so I think, I think there are really only a few apostles who are mentioned or who are at the kind of center stage throughout some of the chapters. But for the most part, it is the Holy Spirit at work, the ministry of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in the church,
like
continuation.
So I read through the book of Acts this morning.
Come on.
And I was blown away that it took until chapter 20 before Luke switched it to us and we. So for 20, I mean, A, he doesn't say, and then I was with him. He just literally starts with, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And you're like, we? So Luke, so are you telling me, Pastor Kevin, that from Acts 20 on, Luke is in the story.
He is in the story. Which this
where did he come from?
I didn't realize this until this year when we were in in this study as a church. I never saw this before. Here's Luke, this historian who's basically, there's a benefactor who's going, hey, I want you to write this, Theophilus. I want you to write this account for me. So he's going and he's writing this, and I read that Luke actually became a believer
through the research.
So he enters into this as this researcher, as this historian, as this doctor.
Yeah.
And then Barnabas, some take back to like at Antioch, that would have been the time. And Barnabas, some say that Barnabas would have been the one that led him to the Lord.
Yes, it was Barnabas. I did not know that till right now, but of course it was. It was Barnabas. That's right. I did not know that.
So like that Luke comes to Christ in the journey, and then he's full on, fully devoted.
And then he gets in a shipwreck with Paul. God
right.
love him. Poor. And then you just keep reading after 20. I mean, I know we're skipping 19 chapters, but I'm like, poor Luke gets in the story right when they spend an entire winter on a desert island because they got at a shipwreck.
In Malta, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. Okay, so when we're reading, let's start with like big picture, and then I literally will show you. I have like just two pages of notes of things I want us to sort out about the book of Acts. The big picture is, why should we read this book?
Yeah.
Why does it matter? After we've done so much Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why am I taking them to Acts next?
So now what?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that is the question. Now what? That the historical account of the life of Jesus is so that we would experience the life of Jesus, like so that we would live this mission of Jesus, so that we would live life on mission. So you've got Jesus who commissions these disciples at the end of Matthew, where he gives them this great commission, and like his last words, our first priority, our marching orders as far that we would take this good news message to the to the corners that we would take it throughout. We would make disciples. And so what does that look like, and how is that experienced through the context of the local church and through the church? And that's that's what we get in the book of Acts. That's what we're living in it. We're living the story.
Yeah.
So I think whenever I read Acts, it just messes with me, Annie. It's just, there's this sense of like, man, this longing for more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's this dissonance between what I'm currently experiencing and the more. And Rhea and I talk about this all the time. Like when we're in Acts, like more of God's presence and more of His power and more of the signs, wonders, and miracles. Like this is when I read it, I'm like, why am I not experiencing more of this in my life right now today? So it stirs. We had snow back in February, maybe it's February, January, and shut things down for a week in Nashville. And there was just this this pent up energy of like, man, I got to get out of the house. Like I think Acts does that for me too. It's like, man, I got to get out of like wherever I've constrained or limited the move of God, basically because of belief or because of apathy or because of my own comfort or aversion of risk, you know, where have I whittled things down into the house, and how do I get out and experience the more of what He has? Yeah. So it makes me, I get stir crazy when I read this book in a good way. That sounds
fun. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay, and it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. masterclass.com/soundsfun.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Okay, now back to our conversation with Pastor Kevin.
That sounds fun.
You taught through it in August. Is that right?
Back in February.
Awakened. Yep. We did it in February. Yep. Okay, so we can link to those as well so people can listen to more of those. Do you want to tell the professor story? Was it this February?
Yeah, so we're in this season of called Awaken, where as a church, we invite people to fast and pray.
I love a corporate fast. Helps me when I'm looking around and all y'all's faces are getting...
see hangry on people's...
chiseled, cornered faces. I'm like, everybody's fasting. We are all fasting.
Yeah, there's something about a corporate fast. Well, we were in that time and early on reading the book of Acts, and there was this longing for the more that God would want to do, and just a hyper awareness. I think that's one of the things that fasting does, is there's a hyper awareness of the kingdom of God, of the activity of God around. Yeah. And so we had just started the fast, and I was driving up the interstate on 65 going into work, and I see this car swerve and then go back and hit the median. And so I pulled over, and I was on the phone with Rob Santel, chief of staff of the church. I let him know, I need to call you back. Something's happened. And I run over, and there's a woman who's running up in scrubs. She's a nurse, and she's running up, and we run up to the car, and there was a man who's having a medical emergency, and pray with him, and you know, we were unable to help him in the way that he needed help. He ends up, we tried, we prayed. I thought, man, God's going to save his life. God didn't answer the prayer in that way. And so we ended up, I left that.
So he died while y'all were there on the road.
While we were there.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was I went home that night. I didn't really tell anybody. I just kind of, I called Ree, and I had to go lead the staff message and, go into the day. And so I got home that night, and I told Ree, and Ree had been praying for me. But I just didn't sleep. I had trouble sleeping that night. And I'm reading through the book of Acts, and prayer is one of the main themes through the book. Yeah. And so, man, God, he met me in prayer the next day. I was still pretty, just carrying that and praying for this man's family. And I didn't know any of the details about who he was or what, or his family. And I was talking with Ree, and I'd found out that he was a professor at a school in Nashville. Mm-hmm. He was an older man, in his, 70s. And I was told Ree, and I didn't know that Ree was on the phone with Raleigh.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to tell the kids because I didn't want to trouble the kids.
Who's your college-age daughter?
Who's our college-age daughter.
Oh, I guess you have two of them.
Yeah, I have two college-age
daughters. The older,
I
forget.
I got two college-age daughters. Well, Raleigh ends up, she said, I told Ree, I said, I found out he was a professor, and it's likely that he was a believer.
Yeah.
And Ree ends up, Raleigh said, well, what happened? And so I was like, I don't want to trouble them, Yeah. So I told her, she said, oh, Dad, can I pray for you?
Oh.
And I just, at that point, I was so overwhelmed. I got down on my knees, and I just opened up my hands, and when Raleigh prayed for me, it was something lifted.
Mm.
And I slept like a baby that night. I mean, I closed my eyes, and I woke up the night before, I could not sleep at all. And so I'm reading through the book of Acts about the Holy Spirit, about prayer, and I feel like in many ways I'm getting to experience the presence and power of God in ways that I hadn't before. And it was while we're in this fasting season. Well, let's fast forward. We lead through the book of Acts. And I was sitting in prayer on a Saturday morning, and
on the back porch.
Well, I've got a green couch that I've moved inside when the weather was.
February. Good call. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting on the couch.
You're like, Annie, I'm not suffering for the gospel. I'm not sitting on the winter. I'm an insect. Okay.
And I just think about this man.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what's going on. And it had been like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And I look up I just Google. I find out that there is a memorial for him the next day.
Oh my gosh.
At the school where he was a professor.
Yeah.
I feel like I think I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
I go to the memorial, sit on the back row. Yeah. And I'm just sitting there because I want to hear about his life. I want to know who he was. Yeah. And more than that moment, just that. Uh-huh. I go listen to the service, and I get a text from the provost of the school.
Oh, wow.
Who found out that I was there. Somebody told him that I was there. He texted me and sends me this text and says, "Hey, the family's back in the back room. They'd like to meet you," because they had heard that I was there.
Yeah.
So I got to pray with his wife and with his two daughters.
Yeah.
And it was probably one of those moments that God just, only God could put together.
That's exactly right.
And so when he's like, "Why read the book of Acts?" Because I think God is moving all the time.
Yeah.
Through his spirit. And he's wanting to move us all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he wants to
invite us in.
Invite us in to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And some of it's really, some of the challenging, difficult, he doesn't want to do it in our own power and our own strength. But then he has these moments of healing and grace that he wants to pour out in the lives of others. And the book of Acts, what we'll see in the book of Acts is that it happens through prayer.
Yeah.
Like it is through prayer. We're not going to whiteboard our way out of this thing. We're not going to start. I mean, God uses good strategy, but
yes.
But it always begins in prayer. You know, you think about it, you'll start the book of Acts and they go to replace Judas.
I think this is fascinating.
Right,
this is chapter 4 maybe?
No, I think it may just be chapter 1.
Oh, is it? Chapter 1.
No.
I'm great at this.
But it's like
you're right, it is 1 right there.
Yeah, and what do they do to propose? Like, how do they make that decision?
So they propose two men.
Right.
Which the thing I thought was so interesting is they picked two guys who had been with them the whole time.
The whole time.
So there are these other men that we don't even know all through the Gospels that have been there the whole time, and then it says then they prayed.
They prayed, and then they did what? Verse 26.
Then they cast lots.
They cast lots.
And the lot fell to Matthias.
Okay. This is the last time we see them casting lots to make a decision.
Really?
So once they've received the
Holy
Spirit,
they don't cast lots anymore.
They don't cast lots anymore. They pray. They pray before they make decisions. So they pray. They pray before they make decisions.
Oh, that's cool.
They pray. Anytime that they appoint leader,
yes. Like
appointing leaders is a big deal.
Right? Yes, yes.
And so in prayer and the Holy Spirit become the way that decisions are made.
After
that. And so it really is what I would encourage people is as you read through the book of Acts, you know, maybe every time you see the word prayer, just or pray, we just circle it just so that we can be reminded that in the economy of God, this is the way things move forward.
Yeah.
You know, this is the movement of Jesus, right? This is the way the Holy Spirit works, is through prayer. So
we're doing one chapter a day for the month of May. So, man, I'm going to circle every time I see the word prayer or pray. That is crazy. Before we get to the Holy Spirit showing up, which I love, how long was Jesus on earth between his resurrection and his ascension?
40 days.
Yeah.
So
the Lord loves that number.
Loves the number.
Yeah.
Right? He's raised from the dead, spends 40 days, and then they have 10 days of waiting.
And right, see, you said in our Easter sermon that he sees like 500 people.
500 eyewitnesses.
So eyewitnesses.
I think Corinthians gives us that, Paul's gives us that number, that there were 500 eyewitnesses. Many of them who were still alive when he was writing Corinthians.
How much younger is he than Jesus? Do you know? I can look here. I mean, they've got to be close-ish, right? Because they
would have been contemporaries, right?
Ish. Yeah. I think that is so. Me and Paul, we're getting better. I'm working on it. I'm just not going to be the front of his line to visit when we get to heaven. Y'all can have your turn first. I will get him at some point. I will talk to him. But I think one of the interesting things in verse 4 of chapter 1, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he's just always eating with them.
Yeah.
He just eats all the time with
Jesus,
them. It's great. So for 40 days, he's here.
Yeah.
Just eating with them. And then he sends disciples. We won't do this for the whole book, but chapter 2 really is kind of crux for those of us who live on the earth. I mean, every time I preach from chapter 2 on stage, I always say, this is the same church you go to.
Mm.
Like, this is the church you go to. Wherever you go to church,
trace it back.
This is the original church you go to, is Acts 2 church. So will you tell us a little bit, why does that chapter matter to you? Why do we need to, on May 2nd, when we're reading Acts 2, why does that one matter?
Yeah, it's the fulfillment of the promise.
Yeah.
Right? John 16, 17, Jesus promising the disciples about the Holy Spirit and what will happen when the Holy Spirit comes. So you see this movement where the temple was at the center of the faith, right?
Yeah.
The temple was at the center. And now we move from the temple being at the center to the Holy Spirit dwelling in Like, so there's this movement from,
and that's how Paul says you are the temple.
You are the temple. Wow. So now there's this movement from the presence of God being in the, you know, the holy of holies in the holiest place, that place representing the presence, to mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. through what we see, tongues of fire on the heads of yeah. people in languages, you see this movement of, okay, now the Spirit dwells in yeah. in us. And just like Jesus said, right? That was the promise. So they wait for 10 days.
And yeah, they just sit there and wait. They didn't know it was going to be 10
praying.
Days.
United prayer.
It's, I mean, so tough.
They're coming. Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Because it starts with when the day of Pentecost came. It right. wasn't Pentecost when that day came. They didn't right. know that.
And they didn't.
Luke
yeah.
just wrote that.
They didn't piece that together. Okay,
no.
yeah. So what I love about this is that God is looking for some people who are willing to wait on Him.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a miracle that they all stayed, right?
Right. Then nobody was like, you know what? We're done. I'm going to look up. Do you know what day Pentecost is this year? Mm-mm. Me neither. I'm going to look at. Keep talking. I'm going to Google it while we're sitting
here. So, you know, you think about when Jesus gave the Great Commission, they're up on the mount, and it says that some of them worshiped and some of them doubted. So, mm-hmm. you know, what I love is Jesus commissions doubters. Like, He commissions worshipers and doubters.
Yeah, He's all right with that. Yeah.
Sometimes we're worshipers, sometimes we're doubters, you know. So you've got this collection of 120 people, some of them worshiping, some of them doubting. I mean, it is a miracle that everybody's there, like at the day of Pentecost, right? And then the Spirit's poured out. They received the Spirit. And one of the things that we see happen here is we've got this, we can draw it back to the Old Testament. We've got, you remember at Sinai, remember Moses comes down with the tablets, the law is given, and people have they've taken the golden calf and they're worshiping this idol, and 3,000 die on that day. Okay. And you've got the lightning and you've uh-huh. got, you know, all that going on. Uh-huh. Well, here you have fire on the heads of people, and you have the Spirit is given, and 3,000 are added. So you've got this reversal of Sinai. You've got this reversal.
Oh my gosh.
You've got this, you've got Babel where people were, where the languages were confused.
Yes.
Right? Where people are trying to build to get to God.
Yeah.
Here at Pentecost, you have God come to man through the Holy Spirit, and you have languages redeemed, right?
Yes.
You have languages used, and everybody hears in their own language. So there's not the confusion of languages.
Yeah.
There's languages are used to communicate. So you have this reversal, 3,000 added. And you remember when we were at the temple stairs where the mikvahs, right? The baptismals were there. And you can see how they would baptize 3,000 people in one day. So it's this, Acts 2 is, I mean, it is the Holy Spirit shows up.
Yeah.
And power, and Jesus promised, He's like, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We get to see what power looks like.
Yeah.
Right.
You were supposed to go back to Israel in May, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go in September.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
So hopeful that all will be well soon enough. And we get to go again. But when you're standing there on the southern steps, you're like, 3,000 people heard Peter yelling up the stairs.
Right.
And they all got saved and baptized that day. And that water had to be grubby. Listen, I've done enough baptisms at crosspoint.tv.
There was less hair product back then, though.
Oh, yeah, less eyelashes to float around in the tubs. That's exactly right. Okay, and when we are getting into one of the wild things to me, this is why I love the Bible so much, but there's a synagogue leader mentioned. It starts with a G. Gamaliel? How do you say it? When you read it, you just have to look at the word and memorize it. Do you know who I'm talking about, though? So he's mentioned in, I think in chapter 4, where he says, they're all trying to shut down the Jesus followers. And he says, hey, listen, there are these other, here, when this guy got crucified, mm-hmm. all his followers disbanded. When this guy died, all his followers, let's just wait and see.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see. Because if this isn't God, it'll go away. And then later when you're reading, that was Paul's synagogue leader. That was Paul's rabbi.
He studied at the feet. Yeah.
That is wild to me that the same guy who said, let him go, just see what happens. In the long run, his student is the guy who sends the gospel to the world.
Of course, yeah.
That's cool.
That's so good.
I don't have a question around it. You
can
talk about it.
I think it's great.
I think it's great. I think that's wild. What do we do when things like that pop up? Do we journal that? Do we memorize that? Do we write in our Bibles? What do you do when little light bulb moments happen or connections happen?
Yeah, I write them down.
You put everything in Evernote?
I do.
Yeah.
Just because I want to come back to it. I love going back. One of the things I love about making a record of a history with God, when God gives you those things,
uh-huh.
is so that you can go back to them when you need them.
Yeah.
And you can go back to them just for a reminder. So sometimes I'll just go back to what was I learning? What was I seeing? Especially like I do the Bible in a year, like the one year Bible. And so I do the same reading every year.
May 1st or whatever. Yeah.
And so I'm able to go back and see what did I learn.
Do you have a paper Bible you read the Bible in a year, or do you read it?
Now I'm reading in a paper Bible, but most of the time I read on a Kindle.
Okay, let's get to Saul to Paul. Everybody loves him. Yeah. I like him. Yeah. I've come around. Okay. Even Luke's storytelling ability of side mentioning that at Stephen's murder, what's the Christian word?
His execution, his martyrdom.
Martyrdom, yeah. The Christian word. Listen to me. At his martyrdom, they all hand their cloaks. While they're throwing rocks, they all hand their cloaks to Saul. And so, and he's right. And then it's just like, well, now Saul goes out and he's trying to get everybody. Yeah. What do you know about Saul to Paul? Tell me your, let's talk about him for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know if there's another person where their conversion is more pivotal.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Right, than Saul. Yeah. And when I think about evidence of the resurrection, like evidence of the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, that he can take the greatest, enemy of the gospel.
Truly.
And take the greatest enemy and bring about conversion, and not merely conversion, but to the degree by which his hatred for the gospel, like you just do the complete opposite, like his zeal, that same zeal that was aimed in trying to wipe out the movement of Jesus. Yeah. Now he's aiming all of that and more to the point where he's like, kill me.
Yeah.
And then the more study as I went through and just started studying about his whole life was aimed in, and there's one point where he's like, let me be accursed. Like in other words, let me be accursed. Let me go to hell.
Right.
If it means my brothers and my sister, like that much passion and love for his people. You know, when he changed, we talk a lot about Saul, his Hebrew name, changing to Paul, which would be like his Latin name. You know, he was a Roman citizen, which means he had access to, saves his life, right? So he goes from, and his name Saul means prayed for. And, it would have been tied to his, Jewish roots and Saul, who was the king. But his name, he uses the name Paul in his missionary journeys, and Paul is a Latin, which means small. So, when you think of, the name that he chooses to go with, he's small. And so I went by, I was like, well, what did he look like?
I was about to say,
So there's a historical account. The earliest historical account that we have of the Apostle Paul says the Apostle Paul, a man small in size, bald-headed, bandy-legged, well-built, with eyebrows meeting.
Oh!
So he had a unibrow.
Paul.
Rather long-nosed, full of grace, for sometimes he seemed like a man and sometimes he had the countenance of an angel.
Wow. Golly.
So he had been marked by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And he was driven. He was driven that everyone would know the same grace that he had encountered. So, when you move, and as you think about this movement, so we go from the temple of God, the presence of God, from the temple of God to the people, the spirit, temple to the people. Then you've got this movement from Jerusalem, where it's kind of the headquarters, the first 10 chapters all about what God's doing in Jerusalem, to Antioch becomes the headquarters of the movement of Jesus.
Wow.
Then you've got this movement from Peter to Paul.
I wrote that down. After chapter 12, Peter's gone from the story.
So I look at it as he's not replacing him.
Yeah.
He's standing on his shoulders. Mm. It's a continuation.
And Luke's with him.
And Luke's with him.
So it almost is like the narrative. If we were watching a movie, it's like the narrator just took the bus instead of the car.
Right.
And now we're on a bus ride and the car's still going and Peter's still doing. We just don't know again until Galatians, where Peter and Paul get in a real tussle. They got a situation. Paul loves to argue with his friends, Kevin.
But he is so passionate about the Gentiles.
Like, I know, which is so sweet.
That's me. Which is good for us. Which is Luke. I didn't realize this until I was studying the book of Acts this time, in that Luke, you know, Luke's a Gentile.
Uh-huh.
So he is the only Gentile author in the scriptures. And he writes a quarter of the New Testament. So what does that tell us as followers of Jesus? That God chooses one of the authors, you know, in the canon.
Yeah.
Chooses a Gentile.
That's right.
And so Luke is coming with this Gentile perspective just so that, and I think that's one of the reasons that he and Paul were so close is because Paul's like, you got to take this in. Paul included him as a Gentile, you know, in communicating this account to the Gentiles, to us.
And I just need to remember, Paul and I are on the same team.
You are.
Paul and I are on the same team. And I would love a teammate who is that zealous about going after, you know.
Yeah.
But then there's the Barnabases. I feel like people like with that amount of zeal leave people in their wake. Yeah. Barnabas, John Mark, Peter.
Yeah. And I look at, so Barnabas, you want to talk about Barnabas a little bit?
Okay, let's.
So Barnabas, we would not have a Paul if it wasn't for a Barnabas.
Yeah.
Right? So, and so Barnabas is at Antioch. God's moving, right?
Luke becomes a believer.
Yeah. God's moving in, right?
I know.
And so Barnabas realizes, I need some help.
Yeah.
And so his name, Barnabas, means son of encouragement, right? And it's the same Greek word as the Holy Spirit. And so like when it said the Holy Spirit is encouraged, like the courage of the paraclete.
Yeah.
So there's this, he is the son of encouragement. He is, what he does, that's like the kind of stuff the Holy Spirit does.
Oh,
right? So Barnabas ends up, you know, and it's the same word that they would use for a coach in the Greek Olympics. So he's like,
oh,
coach, right? Yeah. So they're like, Barnabas is this, he's this coach. Well, he sees in Saul and he risks his reputation.
Yes.
He risks his influence. He risks, because remember, he's going to get the enemy of the faith. And
yeah,
he's
that's right.
Bringing him in.
That's right.
And he's the first, he takes a flyer on Paul.
Yeah.
And so he's this hinge person in the story that just opens the door for the God. So we wouldn't have a Paul without a Barnabas.
Yeah. That sounds fun. Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation again to tell you about one of our incredible partners, KiwiCo. Whether you're staying home or heading out and about for the summer, KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first ever summer adventure series. Y'all, this is so cute. Kids from 2 years old to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks. Y'all know KiwiCo has something for everyone and offers different topics for each age. Whether your child wants to explore space or learn about dinosaurs, so if you're trying to think about an activity to keep them busy while you travel or something to do at home, KiwiCo is it. KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, to explore, and stay off their screens. Honestly, I want all of those things this summer too. There's adorable projects from their summer adventure series, like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where kids build an actual bottle rocket. I really want to do this one soon with some of my mini BFFs. You can choose your adventure too. The summer adventure series is a personalized experience. You'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are. It's really amazing. These are real engineering, science, and art projects for kids. As a parent, it can be hard to find creative ways to keep your kids busy and challenged, and KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together. There's something for kids of all ages. Convenient, personalized. You can either receive all of your summer adventure crates at once or weekly for 6 weeks. That is so fun to get mail like that. So build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off of your summer adventure series at KiwiCo.com/fun summer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at KiwiCo.com/fun summer. I'm going there today to get this for my nephew, Sam. That link, remember, and pretty much every other link you could ever hope for are in the show notes below, or we'll send them right to you in Friday's AFD Week in Review. So be sure you're checking those out. And now back to finish up our conversation with Pastor Kevin.
Remember back in Acts chapter 1 where they decide, they choose Matthias, and there's one that they don't choose.
Yes, they don't choose a Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice.
Barsabbas. So Barsabbas means son of strength, like son of like old man strength. So in other words, like he was born to a father in old age.
Yeah. Okay.
So now this is found this in some research. It's pretty. There's another Barsabbas in the Book of Acts, and it is Judas Barsabbas. So some would say, well, that was Joseph Barsabbas and Judas Barsabbas. They were brothers. Mm-hmm. Not the Judas that they had to replace.
Yeah.
Now, Barnabas, his name was Joseph.
What?
Yes.
Wowie zowie. Are you about to tell me?
So there are some who believe that Joseph Barsabbas, that they actually gave him another nickname. They called him Coach.
So switched him when the lot did not fall to him.
He stayed in it
and became.
And rather than getting bitter that he didn't get picked,
my guy.
I don't know for sure. It makes sense, but I like to think that instead of getting bitter and falling off the pages, that he shows up. He's like, I'm just going to encourage. I might not be one of the 12,
but I'm in it.
But I'm in it.
Where else would I go? He probably heard Peter say, "Where else would I go?" He did. He was with him all along.
And so
he was just Jesus the whole time. So then Saul, after Saul sees Jesus and is when Jesus messes with him on the road and makes him blind, I have a question about that. But so then when Paul is being discipled by Barnabas, it is going like, hey, I was with Jesus this whole time. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. So
that Paul, makes so much sense so, how Paul knows as much as he knows.
And many would say that Paul was discipled, that he was discipled, but he goes off for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And he's discipled. But it's Barnabas who takes a flyer and goes, come on. And he has x-ray vision, like to see who Paul could be.
Yeah.
And he brings him in and takes a
That race. Is so that cool. Wild? That is that so wild? Cool. So,
yeah.
I'm reading a book on fasting. And they mention how Paul doesn't eat or drink in his 3 days of fasting.
Mm.
And apparently that's only like two times in the Bible not to drink during a fast. I've never done that.
No.
Okay. I was like, Kevin, we need to talk about, am I blocking the Holy Spirit because I'm drinking water or I'm drinking if I'm drinking juices, I'm drinking my liquid IV. Am I stopping the Holy Spirit? No. The book even says, this is only for like extreme, like look when it happens. It's when Jesus shows up and blinds Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was it. Just check. Okay. Check that off my list. I was just making sure it was okay for me to keep drinking liquids. So then Coach and Paul having a breakup is even sadder then.
Yeah. Why did they break up? Because of John Mark. So
who abandoned him and Paul couldn't handle it.
Well.
Right. Which is
so.
Right.
So Barnabas has grace for bringing him back.
Grace for bringing John Mark back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of my stitches with Paul is I want to be like, he did it with you. You want to let him do it with him?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot we don't know because it's only a couple verses. But that has been a rubbing place for me about Paul. Like, you wouldn't let Barnabas bring John Mark back? It was over walking away from your coach over?
Yeah. I think one of the challenges in ministry and maybe what Paul said is that maybe he knew that John Mark would become the. I've always heard like you don't hire a ministry, you do ministry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so like sometimes if John Mark wasn't at a place where if his cup wasn't full enough to pour out, then Paul was going to be constantly having to focus on him rather than. People and we don't know the whole story.
If we get to heaven,
they sort it out. But like,
wait a minute, can we walk? Well, the four of y'all get together and do a seminar where they go like, here's the part you didn't know, and here's why. Because there is this world of like, Paul's got to go fat. I'm fast. Yeah. Paul's fast.
Yeah.
And he's got, and so he's like, Silas, I can keep up with, and he's ready to run, so we're gonna run. But that had to be sad for all of them.
Oh,
right?
Just heartbreaking. Yeah. You see it in Timothy. You know, and when Paul's in prison, he doesn't have much time. He's like, hey. Have John Mark bring my coat back. Like there's this,
this
reconciliation that you see.
Oh my God.
See,
gosh,
it's my, I want you to love Paul.
I know. Do you love it?
I do.
Is he one of your top guys?
It was in that prison where we read through the end of, and you could just, and it's cold. And, you know, we went to the place where he was executed, you know, and
I'd
in
never
Rome.
Been there. That was my third trip to Israel. And I'd never been where we went to see all the that stuff.
We were in the prison there in Rome. And then we were in the, at the place where he was executed. And it was like, it was in that place that you just saw this, this was a man who loved, you know, who loved deeply, loved Jesus. And he loved people and he was willing to lay down everything.
Yes. I do believe that.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I, and guess what? I don't have to be bros with everybody.
That's right.
We don't have to like everybody's personality. There are a lot of people who don't like Peter. He denied Jesus. He cut a guy's ear off. Jesus called him Satan.
Yeah.
You know, there's he doesn't want Gentiles to come along. So here's an interesting thing, Kevin, is in Acts, they start calling our faith the way. What's that about?
Yeah. You know, that was the original like way that they referred to that were followers of the way. Uh-huh. And Jesus, like, I'm the way, the truth,
I am
and life.
The way, the truth.
Yeah. So
that is literally what I thought.
Yep. So they're calling us followers of the way, and then it was in Antioch where they became. They said Christians. They were like followers. So Christian was actually a term that was given by outsiders. So the insider term where we are followers of the way.
Okay.
And then Christians were a term that like followers of Christ. That they are that they're devoted to Christ was our that was the way they referred to us. So.
Yeah.
So we took that on.
I was like, oh, the way. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the way that you, so they were like, we're gonna follow him. We're gonna follow the way. We're gonna call it the way.
Right.
And we're gonna I thought that was very cool. I love it. Also who knew until I read this morning, Paul's nephew is in Acts because his nephew shows up in chapter 23, verse 16. But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul.
Wow.
His nephew saved his life. I can get back because there was a plot to kill him.
Yeah.
Of course there was because they had. But like, I didn't know we knew any of his family.
Annie, I've read over that verse. I'm learning stuff. I love
that. That's why when the Bible says it is a living and active, it's because we miss words all the time.
It.
That's why.
Wow.
It doesn't change. I thought that was fascinating. And then it feels like it ends very abruptly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think that is? Is there something that, what do you think that is?
Yeah. Let's look at how it ends. So for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him.
And where's there? Where is he, Rome?
He's in Rome.
Okay.
He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Yeah.
So it ends with him, you know, preaching about the kingdom.
Because you always picture Paul being the guy who's always traveling, but he's not. I mean, he plants down for years multiple times.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes by choice, sometimes by,
by home arrest, house arrest.
Yeah, but
this is a by choice, right?
But he has this—
in his own rented house, yeah.
He has this dream, this vision of going—I mean, Jesus has told him. Jesus has told him he would get to—I'll show you something cool. So Jesus he has this encounter with Christ in Acts 23, verse 11. It says, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, you must also testify in Rome. So he gets this word from Jesus that he's going to go to Rome.
Yeah.
That he'll
make
it.
The Lord stood near Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, what a day. Hey, the Lord is near. And then Paul's saying to Luke, you got to write this down because the reason we're going to Rome is Jesus stood near me.
He gets a word so that when there's this plot, can you imagine the courage that he had? Because Jesus just told him you're going to end up in Rome.
Yep, yep.
So he knows he's going to make it. So he's got this courage of like, so when he goes through trial before Felix and he goes before Agrippa and when he sails for Rome and when he, this is how he makes it through the storm. This is why he has such confidence in the storm
because
he's not at Rome yet.
Wow.
So when Jesus said, it's like when Jesus tells the disciples they face the storm. Remember he says, hey, we're going to go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And they encounter the man that's possessed by demons. And go, but this is why Jesus says you have little faith. Because they're freaking out because they think we're about to die. He told them, he said, we're going to the other side. So when Jesus says you're going to make it to the other side, make it to the other side.
Yeah.
And so they're freaking out.
He tells you Rome, you're going to make it to Rome.
You're going to make it to Rome. So Paul gets this word from Jesus, and it's that word that he has in his pocket that pulls him through the storm.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is when the shipwreck happens, right?
Right.
And they're there for a long time.
Right.
But he's not in Rome yet, so he's like—
I think that shipwreck on Malta, I think that's the first revival, healing revival that we see in the book of Acts. It breaks, there's this Paul, they wreck the ship.
Yeah.
They all live, so which is a miracle in itself. Luke is with Paul. A snake bites Paul's hand. Paul shakes off the snake. He's not killed. The people are like, oh, you're a god. Paul's like, I'm not a god.
You know?
And they take him to the tribal leader. They take his to his house. His dad is sick. He prays for the tribal chief. He gets healed. And so then this healing revival breaks out on the island of Malta.
Yeah.
People start coming to Christ, like people, Paul, and he's always on mission. He hangs out there for a while.
Yeah, 3 months they're there. Can you imagine 3 months? And they just can't, that's what it says. I think I'm right. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered, again, Luke's with him, in a ship that had wintered in the island. And you're like, oh, now all these prisoners now all get to go.
Yeah.
After 3 months, Three months feels like a long time when you're stuck on a desert island or when you're praying for something and it's not happening in our lives.
But Malta is this tiny little island in the middle of, the middle of the ocean. And they didn't have GPS. They weren't heading for Malta. They were trying to get to Rome.
Yeah.
But God used the storm, the thing that they thought that was going to take them out.
Yeah.
The thing they thought that was going to, that tore the boat apart. God used the storm to get them to the place that he wanted them to be, where they could bring the kingdom of God.
Yes. Yeah. Golly. The Bible is so fun sometimes. It is alive. Okay. What did we not say that you want to make sure we say? What do people need to be thinking about?
You know, I think look for movement.
Okay.
Like look for movement, look for those four major moves that we talked about, from the temple to the people, from Jerusalem to Antioch, from Peter to Paul, and from Jew to Gentile. Those are the four major movements. Look for prayer, circle prayer. Ask God, where do you want to move in me? And where do you want to move? And where are you moving around me? And give me eyes to see the kingdom of God, where you're moving, your rule and reign, your power, your presence at work in and through my life. And there was this missionary who attends the Mount Juliet campus at Cross Point. His name is Leonard Lee, and he goes and he trains pastors, Africa, Cuba. But he said that there was a village that he was training pastors, and he taught them, "I am Acts 29." Like he taught them, "I am Acts 29." He said, "Like you're living this out."
Yeah.
And they ended their time together with, "I am Acts 29." Like this is. We're the book of Acts is continuing.
Yes.
Right. And so these pastors, he finds out that that there were some extremists that came and that killed those believers, those pastors and those leaders who were in that city a couple months later after he was with them. So he's just heartbroken. Well, he went down to Cuba, and he was training pastors, and he told them that story.
Yeah.
And all those pastors in Spanish, I'm not sure. Yo soy
29. There you go. I was like, 20, I know that part.
And so they're like, "I am Acts 29 in Spanish. And so I'm like, we are still living out that story.
Yeah.
And so I think that's let's study a book, but the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing and all around us. And let's look for opportunities to bring and proclaim that kingdom, that message that Paul gave his life to get it to Rome.
Yeah, that's right.
God wants us to.
It wouldn't have gotten to us if it wouldn't have gotten to Rome.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, one last question.
Yeah.
Sunday, May 19th is Pentecost.
Yeah.
What do we do on Pentecost? The church, a lot of traditions celebrate it. They change the color of their robe.
Yeah.
What should we pray? Do you pray different on Pentecost? Do you think different? Is there anything we should think about on Pentecost?
That's a great question. And I may do things differently this year. Mm. What do you think?
I want to say to the Holy Spirit, I know what today is.
Yeah.
I think that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to say, I know what you did. And Pentecost moves like Easter moves, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it
so 50 days
after Easter? Yeah. And so my first thought, I've never thought of this either. I just was thinking of it with you. My first thought is I just want to acknowledge to the Holy Spirit, I know what you can do today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if he did it then, he'd do it again.
Yeah.
Leonard Ravenhill. A lot of Leonards.
Yeah.
But he has this old man, like Pentecost at any cost.
Pentecost at any cost.
They were willing to wait, you know, 10 days. We struggle 10 minutes, you know.
Right.
But Pentecost at any cost.
I have never felt that more true than after Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Pentecost at any cost. Yeah. Any cost. Okay. Will you pray for us as we go into the book of Acts this week? And as we point toward Pentecost and point toward these 28 days of what would it look like to see movement in our lives too?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good. Father, thank you for your word.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for, thank you that you haven't left us alone to figure it out on our own, but you have given us your word. You've given us your son. You've given us your spirit. You've given us everything that we need in Christ for godliness and for the mission. And so, Father, I pray that you would use these words that are living and active to set our hearts on fire for you, for your name, for your glory, God, that you would be known. And I pray that wherever our lives have become about ourselves, wherever we've whittled things down to comfort and convenience, wherever we've managed to minimize, God, what you want to do, Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes. Would you give us a fresh baptism of seeing? God, would the fire of God fall in our hearts?
Yes.
And I pray that, Lord, you would give us opportunities to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And every sign, we just say every sign pointing to Jesus.
Yeah.
That every sign would point back to you. We pray, Jesus, that you would be made famous through our lives. Yes. Would you take us deeper in prayer and in intimacy and in knowing you? And then, God, I pray that you would expand our influence, that other people would see you and know you through our lives, and our lives leverage for your kingdom, for your name's sake. And then, God, I pray for people right now who are experiencing a storm in their lives. I pray that they would see, God, that you are with them and that you're going to get them to the other side.
Yeah.
And so would they know your presence, your power, and your promise that you're going to get them to the other side. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kevin.
Thank you.
Pastor the Pod. Doesn't get any better than you. thank you. Okay, you guys, are you ready for the book of Acts? Oh my gosh, he is so brilliant. That was so fun. I am living for this series. And don't worry, we actually have one more coming. So make sure you go follow Pastor Kevin on social media. Tell him thank you for being on the show. Follow Crosspoint Church. You're always welcome to join us on a Sunday or anytime online. And come join us over on Let's Read the Gospels podcast. Remember, we start Acts on May 1st on Wednesday. This is the very first time we're doing Acts on the podcast, but May is also the very last month of new episodes over on Let's Read the Gospels. So I hope you will join us. If you have any questions from this episode, just drop them in the Q&A box on your Spotify app if you're a Spotify listener like me, or send them to us on Instagram at That Sounds Fun Podcast. We'll try to answer them there. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere you may need me, that is where you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you, and I'll do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me is I am spending this coming weekend in the state of Washington. I'm so excited. So I'm already thinking about packing for going across the country. Y'all have a great week. I'll see you back here on Thursday with my friend, one of my favorite authors, and a really fun announcement. It's our friend Jenny Allen. We'll see y'all on Thursday.
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Check 1, 2 on the microphone. Annie F. Downs in your car to your home. Every week it's on the news. A deep talk or an interview. She'll make you laugh, she'll make you cry. When it's dark out, she's a light. When you're down, get you feeling right. Oh man,
that sounds fun.
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun.
Oh.